really like that the back says.
Okay, and we are now recording as Dave and Brian look over the DVD set for
Angst.
Okay, my name is Jason Jenkins, and you are listening to the Scream Addicts podcast. I'm here with, as I mentioned, Dave, Brian, and
Seth.
All right.
Is it pronounced Angst?
Angst.
Angst.
Angst. It's German.
They should
Austrian.
They should have spelled it with an onk for the A and N, then GST.
Those Austrians.
It should have been an anarchy
symbol. Crazy, crazy Germans.
They know
is
how
it,
to.
Is it angst or is it sadness or is it schizophrenia? What the hell was the Blu-ray
it's
trying
angst,
to tell us?
It's angst. It means fear.
Fear. Fair enough.
And that's what you feel the whole time, folks.
Fear.
Okay, we're trying something a little bit different this week. Usually we yap about, well, we catch up on movies that have come out recently, or we've done a couple of franchise talks. This week we've decided to, guys, what would you say we did here? For the next 4 weeks, we're each going to be choosing a movie, and we're going to be watching it here at the Mailroom Studios screening room. With its massive screen and whatnot, and then we'll
That's
be
right.
podcasting about it right after. This week, Dave chose Angst, and Dave, why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
The lead actor was in Das Boot and Schindler's List.
See?
Probably did.
And it's unsettling at all times.
It is. Gaspar Noé said it is the rarest masterpiece of cinema.
Oh,
and
rarest?
He's right.
But at least he's a good filmmaker.
Who is he?
He is the guy who made I Stand Alone, Irreversible, Enter the Void. You haven't seen?
Wait, Enter the Void.
Enter the Void. Yeah. I've seen
Enter the Void.
I've heard of that. What's that? Is that the drug thing?
Paz de la Huerte.
Yes. Yeah, where like the guy dies and he like goes on like his trip. I want to watch that movie.
That was he in the car.
I've never seen that movie. I'd like to.
Oh, Irreversible is very good too, but it will it'll run your week.
So. Will it?
I
prefer films that ruin my day.
There's a lengthy rape sequence in the film that is one of the hardest things to sit through ever. So it's pretty awful. It's a great film.
As he shakes his head and not bothered by
he's
it.
He's like,
No, I'm just not going to say anything. There's not one thing I could say that wouldn't offend somebody.
Fair enough. All right. So we watched Angst. And
I'm going to call it Angst, just so
Angst,
you guys know.
Angst. Whichever. We watch this, what Gaspar Noé calls a masterpiece.
Rarest.
we popped in the Blu-ray, and there are actually three viewing options. You can play the movie straight away. You can play the movie with an introduction by Gaspar Noé.
Which is a mistake.
And as we learned. And then you can play the movie with a prologue,
also
which we'll
mistake.
Get to here in a second. But we started with the introduction from Gaspar Noé, who is apparently a huge fan of the movie, and
thought he was the director.
Yeah, it starts out with Gaspar just sitting in the back of the car, just chilling, staring at the woods.
And you really want to make sure you get the Blu-ray copy for this because the high definition is amazing.
Shot on high 8, this sequence.
I'm not even sure it was that high, Jinx.
We got about 3 minutes into it before we decided that he wasn't really saying anything of any importance whatsoever, so we decided just to skip right to the prologue.
He did, however, say it was the best French dubbing he's ever seen.
Yeah. Did he?
He said those words.
I missed that.
You had to like read it. So
it took me a good 90 seconds to tune.
If you're not sold now, that's it. Good French dubbing.
Over this German film.
I really, really wanted to see this movie. I was excited when Dave chose it because that was one
you
of those
You did see
that
it.
I was excited to see it. Now that I've seen
then
it,
he wasn't.
I wish I could warn myself. I wish I could go back in time.
Why?
I wish I could change things. But, so we skipped through the Gaspar Noé introduction, and we went right to the prologue, which apparently the director cut because...
should have.
Don't need it.
You know, I enjoyed watching it.
The prologue and the end narration were the worst parts of the film.
Right.
I enjoyed it as we were watching it, but yeah, by the time you get to the end of the movie, you realize that the prologue would have been entirely...
I mean, besides the fact that the dude, who I guess doesn't have a name in the film, the killer or whatever.
Right, we're going to call him.
He,
Larry.
He explains everything that the prologue did, but from a personal view of this happened to me whenever I was a kid. And it's better that way.
So
it's more of a gray area.
We should tell the people that most of the movie is
the
narration.
The entire film is narration.
Yeah. And everything that he's narrating is way more interesting than what's happening on
so
the
screen. So how can it be the best French dubbing then?
Let's go ahead.
Not agree.
Let's go ahead and call him just for the sake of this podcast. Apparently this movie is loosely based on the exploits of a real life serial murderer named Werner Niesek.
His name is ruined.
No,
now.
I'm gonna call him the killer. I'm not gonna remember what you just said.
Werner.
Was he the vampire of Dusseldorf? Do we know?
No, that was...
Because that was much earlier,
No, he was in Brooklyn.
Do you think he's happy at how he's portrayed in this movie? Do you think that his skill set matches?
So you guys didn't like the prologue, even when you were watching it at the very beginning.
When I watched it in the beginning, I liked it.
And we should tell people that the opening, the prologue that was ultimately cut from the final, I guess, director's cut of the movie, is essentially a, as with the rest of the movie, there is narration, but it's a series of snapshots and mugshots and whatnot that pieces together the killer's early life, everything leading up to the beginning.
It also shows him killing the old woman, and I don't know if that was just the prologue. Or if that was
with some sort of weird handgun that fires air pellets, apparently, because there were no bullets coming out of that thing.
No blood whatsoever either.
It's 1983.
Yeah, well, fair.
And it's the prologue's being narrated by his psychiatrist, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I guess. I don't know.
The guy with the crazy hair.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting. I like the prologue as I was watching it because, I didn't realize it would become so incredibly redundant once we get into the first 20 minutes of the movie. But at the beginning, it was interesting, I thought.
It was just, I mean, in the beginning, it was like, yeah, okay, this is cool. We're learning about this guy. It's a bit unnerving to learn what he did and growing up. And then you can be like, okay, so it makes sense. Is it been unsettling? So, I mean, you would get the idea that, okay, this guy's really fucked up, but it makes sense that he's so fucked up.
And the fact that, there is, that one jarring sequence, when it starts, it's almost like, what is the Chris Marker movie? Is it Legetti or something? It
plays out with
narration against, just still images all the way up until the point where we find out that he had a girlfriend who was a prostitute, and then it cuts to live action of him burning her with, a bear lamp. It's like that I thought was kind of jarring and unsettling. Well, and so that prologue, it got under my skin a little bit and it set the tone for the rest of the movie until you get into the actual film proper in which...
And then he ends up reciting everything that we were just told.
Exactly, yeah.
But as it was happening to him, so he infers it differently. And having the prologue there takes out any kind of question about what he's doing and why he's doing it. It gives a reason to it, which makes it less creepy.
I suppose, although I found it on its own sort of creepy, I think.
Well, if you just watched those 8 minutes, yeah, that'd be creepy. But sure. But in the context of the film, whenever you give a reason to any kind of madness or killing spree, it tends to take a bit of the shock out of it because the scariest part of what people do is why they're doing it.
Sometimes, yes. Although, I mean, I think with watching
The times, yes.
But have you ever watched a program on an actual murderer?
Yeah.
And get creeped out by that stuff?
No.
And they inevitably delve into...
I don't get creeped out unless the guy had no reason. I mean, I guess if the reason is because he wanted to, that's a bit more creepy because it's still kind of vague. But if they give an actual, he was... as a kid he was abused, then he went to robbery, then he went crazy, or his mind, when you put a reason to it and lay out the map, to me it's not scary anymore,
right?
Because that makes it part of my world because I could buy that. But when there is no meaning behind it, it's not part of my world. So it's this otherworldly force that scares me.
Did you find it then kind of doubly disappointing that after that prologue we get everything that's going on in that guy's mind throughout the course of the movie as well, why he's doing what he's doing?
No, because that's him explaining it, and I don't trust him anyway. So even if he's telling me the reasons, that's not adding any kind of reason to it because that's just him saying he's insane.
And just following up on, you don't believe the narration anyways because he's so bad at killing people and he's talking about all these things that he's done already, and you're like, there's no way he's done this stuff if he's having this much trouble now.
Yeah.
Unless we take the prologue as being,
Right. Well, I think that the prologue, in a sense, ruins it because then we're told that he really did do all these things and these are why he's doing them. And it takes out a mystery of the film that I don't think belonged. I think that the mystery is what should have been kept.
I got you. And I do agree that by the time, once you get into the movie, the prologue is ultimately kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Although, as its own thing, if it were just a short film, a strange little short subject, I would find it, I think, kind of effective. But, once you go from the prologue into the... And we probably should go ahead and lay out for people what the movie is about. It is about this unnamed murderer who was released from prison after having been there for, 10 years?
10 years after killing the old lady with the pelt.
In Austria, you always get put away for 10 years.
For just 10 years. Yes. For murdering a poor old woman.
Unless you're carrying
three bodies
and a dog.
Actually, he just went up and said, bang, bang.
Yes. Yeah, what was it? I have to shoot you now or something.
And then he walked the police through the entire crime scene about how he did it. I guess because it's based on a true event, they wanted it to feel like this really happened, which that's not scary.
So I walked up to the door, she opened it. I shot her.
Yeah, because then that puts some logic to it. And when there's logic to it, to me, it's never a scary thing.
I never say never. I think sometimes it can be, depending
because
I always say never.
The reason I say never is that if a person is killing somebody and there's logic to it, that makes them human.
Sure.
Which means that you're automatically on a level with that person to some degree.
See, I think human murders can be just as fascinating or creepy. Not always, I hate it when movies over-explain.
I think human murders that have logic to it are still horrible people, and they're still terrifying acts. But they don't scare me. They don't unnerve me.
But did, like, okay, like, and we referenced this before we started watching the movie, like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. We were talking about who's meant to be Henry Lee Lucas.
Yeah.
In the movie, you know, he is kind of a blank, and you don't really know what's...
Yeah, well,
what's
because...
Although he does have that backstory where he talks about, you know, like all of the things that his mother...
A little bit,
right. Yeah, but he could also be lying.
That's true. It's coming from him, not from an outside guy who is, like, reading from a form. So in Henry, we don't know why he's doing it really. So, and that's unnerving and weird.
So you're telling me you're yet another person who didn't like the shrink sequence in Psycho?
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Simon Oakland.
All right, yeah, let's go ahead and explain the rest of the movie. Like, okay. Let's just go ahead and get the movie.
Wait, before we go on.
For the listeners.
Before we go on, I think we should explain Psycho.
Should we? Should we?
Should we?
We could, but will we?
Yeah.
All right, so the movie begins with him being released from prison. And his first order of business... is to find somebody to murder.
And so he goes to a coffee shop.
Little Shell Station, and finds a couple of women smoking,
smoking Johnny's.
There's a guy sitting in a suit reading the paper. I think it says war on the front of it.
In English.
In English. Well.
It's not the same in German, is it?
Yes, he's enjoying some OJ, and he, our murderer, Nisek, Werner, whatever we want to call
him. The killer.
Orders a bratwurst. Best part of the movie.
Totally unsettled me.
Enjoys the hell out of it, too.
And
there are all
these, like, closest of his mouth and him eating the sausage and the girl.
I like that.
See, that's... Whenever you're unnerved and annoyed, you pick up on all these sounds. Like, every sound annoys you, so I feel like that's just what that is.
It was weird. It was, like, to get you all, like, to just kind of get you there before you really get there.
Put you in that mindset.
Yeah.
So
this is going to be a weird movie.
He decides. Did he completely decide not to pursue the two women there, or did he decide to find somebody else? Because we should go ahead and move forward from this. He ultimately leaves the diner. He attempts to murder a female cabbie.
He didn't kill the girls in the cafe because he was like, "I'm dressed this way and I look weird because I've been dressed this way for like 10 years, so my fashion sense isn't right." So he couldn't charm them, I think, in a way that would allow him to like trick them into coming back. That's what I thought.
Coattails.
I think it's why he went back at the end of it, is because he got new clothes.
It could be. So he
wasn't as tense anymore. Yeah, he had a release.
He did seem like, I will say, he seemed totally laid back later on.
Well, he had a release.
Which we will get to. So he hits the road. He grabs a cab. He nearly strangles the cabbie with shoelaces, except she notices him pulling the shoelaces from his shoes.
I think this is all spoiler. I mean, you are just laying the movie out.
Isn't that what we should do?
I don't know.
What if they don't watch it, though?
There was that really weird moment in the taxi cab whenever she like turns around and he's holding the light.
I love that.
Like, yeah. Oh, you caught me.
I guess I'll leave now.
And they both stare, and he's like, nah, fuck this, and just gets out of the cab.
And then
he runs through the woods
with no shoelace on his shoe, but the shoe stays on his foot.
Those are strong middle European shoes.
That happens.
Okay, let's go ahead and tell the listener right now. I think the only way that we're going to be able to properly delve into this is to get into spoilery material.
I'm pretty sure if we told you every single plot element of this film, it still wouldn't hinder anybody from watching it, because the experience of watching this film
is
not about the plot.
But all the same.
Not about the plot.
Spoiler warning for anyone who cares for that for this movie. Stop listening, go watch the movie, come back and listen to it.
Let's just say he gets to the house. Let's move him along.
Yeah.
Because he inspects the house for a while.
Let's just say that he gets
to the
house.
In fact, he walks around the house twice. Yeah.
He does. He tries to break the window twice. Succeeds on the second time.
He succeeds incredibly the second time. He breaks the shit out of that window. Not a crack. The whole damn thing falls in.
Austrian glass.
It's all made of sugar.
It was that Schwartz crystal.
I don't know. The way it breaks, I swear to God, it looks like real glass to me. Like, it doesn't look like movie glass where, you know, is all bouncy. When it looks like somebody should have cut the hell out of themselves.
Nope. No. There was no cuts.
Yeah.
No blood.
And people did get dragged through it. Okay, so fair enough. And the dog seemed fine with it.
Put your head down
later on. So he makes to this house in the middle of nowhere that has a weird, guys, what would you call it? A swimming pool? A pond?
Its own pond. Yeah.
It has no furniture.
And no furniture.
No furniture whatsoever, as the killer finds out.
It's an above ground lake.
Into the house.
It's rainwater.
And he finds inside Franklin from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He finds his poor invalid in the wheelchair who calls him daddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he ultimately has a plan to go ahead and make that the site of murder. He waits on, well, what is it ultimately? A mother and daughter? Who
yes. I think so. It's never fully said. But
well,
she says
mother needs her medication.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
And he basically lays in wait until he can strike. And
there's a dog.
There's
the dog finds him first.
The final girl.
Yes, Strawberry, the final girl.
This dog is a champ. He shows no fear.
Wiener dogs are my favorite final girls. Man, just thinking about a Freddy Krueger film if there had been a dog instead of a little girl.
Yeah.
He'd have been
fucked. There is a dog in the Freddy Krueger films.
It brought him back to life. Yeah. It's the most powerful thing in horror films.
He could have said, "You're a bitch."
He could have. He in fact would have. Yeah.
If the wiener dog in this had pissed a stream of fire, I might have loved it. I'll admit that freely.
I did. This is a quick kind of aside, but related to angst and as well Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4 we were just talking about. The girl, when she was tied up and just like gave up,
yeah.
The expression on her face looked like Tuesday night in the entirety of Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. Just fed up and tired. That was her expression for the entire film.
My agent said this would be good for my career.
Yeah, she's just...
I don't want to be here.
I sang the theme song, but can I go home now?
By the end of this podcast, we are going to make Jinx like this movie.
Oh, you guess good luck.
So Jinx hated it.
I gotta say, no. For the first 20 minutes of the movie, I was with it.
That was the prologue.
Okay, the prologue, and then the first 20 minutes of the movie.
So,
when he actually gets to the house, and when they set him up as being, because he does see.
The prologue. You liked him eating the bratwurst. You liked him walking. Those are the points you like.
It seemed like
just
a day
Notting Hill
in the life. Of a terribly inept murderer. And I will say, like, the way he is portrayed, and I did think that the actor up until the point was very good, and it did seem like, you know, especially the way in which it's shot, it seems like there are three different types of shots in that opening 20 minutes. It's either like this fly on the wall hovering above him look. There are these shots that are anchored to him.
Yes.
And then there are like these low, like, tracking, almost like he's a god.
Oh, but and you forgot the amazing crane shots in this, right?
Yeah,
kicks off the movie that's just...
Right.
Startlingly amazing, right?
Absolutely. I think we get the cranes when they set up, like, the locations, but, you know.
I'm sorry. Brian looked at me the entire time, and I was holding it in.
What are you holding in?
You know, the amazing crane shots.
You're angst.
The crane shots of the traffic in the town.
It was Brian.
Spoiler alert. That's how the movie is.
So, yes, there are a lot of wonderful European crane shots.
No, but it did feel like I was drawn in by the first 20 minutes or so, and I thought it was an interesting sort of look into this guy's life and, like, him trying to plan, like, what he considers to be a perfect crime. He keeps talking about his plan all the way through the movie, the plan that he has, the perfect plan. And you realize when he starts to execute it that he might have a plan, at least in his mind, in his very damaged mind, but he is awful at committing these acts.
I don't think that he's awful. I think that he keeps referring to a plan, but at no time in the movie does he ever have a plan.
No.
Right? So when he pulls the shoestring out on the cabbie, it's almost like he has a plan, but this tiniest thing interrupts it, right?
And I think as a character he's still a 14-year-old boy in the park with that crazy
deranged.
Lady. I mean, he's not an adult.
That's why I think it's dangerous to say he's like lying in wait for those people when he's in the house, because it's almost as if that's beyond his capability.
That's what he thinks he's doing.
No, he thinks it's empty, right? He thinks the house is empty. Well,
he sees
the knives and like the dish detergent and stuff.
Well, there's no furniture in the house, so you
the
can
tide.
Just assume.
There's a bed and a lamp that controls everything.
That's right.
And I got to say, up until that point, I was with the movie, and then mother and daughter come back, they park the car, they come in,
This is where it gets good.
I think so.
What follows is probably the craziest attack sequence I've seen in any movie where...
Would you say it's unsettling?
No. I will say the tension they built...
I thought it was unintentionally comic and continued to be so until the final credits.
Well, I think... I mean, they built tension pretty well, I think. And I know that David's going to laugh because we joke about this all the time about how people don't care about people getting killed. They care about the animals getting killed.
Sure, true.
But like, because animals are usually the first ones to go in horror films. So when the dog is walking around the house and seeing him... We know, oh my God, he's gonna kill that dog, and you don't want that to happen because that's gonna start everything. So I was really tense, and the dog would like walk away. And, okay, I'm good now. But he never touched the dog.
Well, that's why.
But
they
kept using the dog to get the tension back up.
I think you think a smart killer would silence the dog immediately, right?
Right. And
but he doesn't. He's not a smart killer.
And I think that's I mean, he doesn't kill the dog, and I don't know why he doesn't kill the dog, but I mean, because in the prologue, we're told he used to kill animals, you know, when he was a kid.
Yeah.
He should have no qualms about sticking that dog.
But did he kill animals as a kid?
That's the thing, yeah. is that if the prologue was gone, then we would have a more interesting version of his character. So he's killing all these people because it makes him happy, he says. It brings him joy and whatever else it brings him, but he won't kill the animal. But that prologue kind of muddies that whole interpretation of it all. I think the prologue makes him into a stereotypical, he was tortured as a kid, he killed animals, and then he moved to, you know, like, prostitutes and then women. So it's like...
You know, the typical.
Right. No, that's exactly right. So, I mean, that, I think it's why I keep coming back to the prologue makes it less interesting, because it just takes out anything original about it.
I agree with that.
I do, too.
I think if you remove
Don't watch
the prologue,
it
doesn't necessarily make it a better movie.
I think it would make it a ton bit better.
See, because,
I think these prologues and these
things that tell us why people do it then generates empathy within us for these characters. And
aren't we
that's
meant
a bad thing.
Aren't we meant to have that for him by the end of the movie, though?
I do because he's so incredibly wonderful. He's so... it's the most ungainly murderer you've ever seen. And I think that's...
And very pathetic.
That's great.
Throughout, I think. Intentionally so, sure. But yeah, I don't know. I can't get on board with it. I could not. Maybe it was the staging of the murders. Like, seriously, but I could not help but laugh. And you guys were right there with me laughing your asses off, too.
It's hysterical.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, but do you think that was the approach, or rather the intent of the director?
I don't care.
Have his audience laughing their asses off at what he's doing.
Who cares?
I don't know. I don't. I don't know the guy.
I'm sure that the times have changed to where that was probably unnerving at some point.
I mean, and in a way, to me, even like laughing about it, it still unnerved me a bit. I think because it felt so real, because we were laughing about how he's like rushing around the house and like he's trying to like beat up that old lady and like tie her up there, but try to kill this guy and he's trying to do all these things at once, and it's laughable whenever you watch it. But if you think about it. That's how it would really go down. It would be frantic and horrible and cut across all this, and it would feel like you were just in like a panic attack.
And if he really did have a plan, just that one mistake would set him
right.
In that
and I don't think he had
and
a
I
plan.
I think that's why it unnerved me a bit, because it was like I'm watching something real happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but I get that, and I understand that approach, and I can see.
Now we've won. We got him.
No, because...
I think his issue is that the victims don't even try. they just hang out.
And they surely don't.
Austria.
They give up. They surrender.
No.
I know some boots that walked into Austria pretty good.
It's true. If you think about these serial killer movies we see, right, everybody is so precise.
Yeah,
they're lying in wait, and they cut a throat or whatever.
And then they tell us why they're doing it at the end of it.
Well,
it was Billy the whole time.
But here, you really get the sense that he is inept, right? And things don't go the way, not that he planned them, but just they don't go the way you think.
Well, and what I think is so interesting about this film is it was made in 1983. So, and Henry was made in what, like
1986? 86. 3 years later.
So, and like nowadays, I mean, a modern horror film, like David was saying, is that the killers are so good at what they do. I mean, Freddy, Jason, Ghostface, whoever. It doesn't matter.
Because they were raised on the movies.
That's it. No, I think about it. Is it they're just so good at what they do, and they're showing that. So it glorifies them in a way. The director, I don't know his name. I'm sorry.
Gerard
Cargill?
It seems like he's showing us him being inept entirely because like, he doesn't want to glorify the fight. He doesn't want to glorify this horrible, horrible act. If he had made him great at it, we would have. There would have been a... He's pretty good at killing. But he's not glorifying. He's showing this is a messy, horrible, dirty job.
And he's not a killer. He's a mentally unbalanced person.
I don't know what he is.
He's doing it because his mind is telling him this is
what
you
wants,
should do this.
But
right?
I don't think he really wants
not
it.
Not at all.
Yeah. And I think that approach is completely valid. It just didn't work for me this time. I think everything that you said it can be found in Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, too. I think Henry and Otis are not that great at murder either.
Oh, my God, they are.
Dude, Henry and them
murder hard.
They managed to rape and kill a girl, videotape it, and watch it. And then he gets to kill Otis, and no one gets caught?
And they did it in a... No.
I mean, come on.
They are different characters. I mean, so far as, like, all the murder scenes in Henry seem very real to me.
Yeah, of course they are.
They don't seem precise in the way that we expect out of, like, the superhero serial killers that seem to have started ever since, like, Hannibal Lecter and
sure,
all.
Right, sure.
So they are much better at it than this guy in Angst. But I don't know. The way they're shot in Henry or whatever, it completely chilled me and it completely unnerved me. And it also felt like, you know, they would grab whatever was at hand.
True.
And so I think it's similar in Angst that, you know, he did the same thing. He was doing the best he could under the circumstances. But the way the director stages it, it struck me like fucking Keystone Cops.
So in Henry, Henry is the main guy in the film.
Sure.
You're following him.
Yeah.
You're with him, mm-hmm. right? So, I wasn't unnerved by Henry as a character as much as I was this guy.
Really?
And I don't know why that is. I don't know. And I don't know what it is. I mean,
I think I'm unnerved by both of them. But
I'm unnerved by both.
Reasons.
Yeah,
Henry
but I'm more unnerved. I'm more unnerved by this guy in Angst because Henry, he's a bit planning. Not planning. I don't know.
He's very good at execution.
He's good at
but.
So you can kind of tell what's going to happen. You know what you're going to get. This guy's a mess.
He is.
Yeah.
You don't know if he's going to tie you to a door or drown you in a bathtub.
Exactly.
Or strangle you from behind his back.
With a shoestring.
With his ass on your face.
I like that.
Or drag you through some glass.
With his pants down.
Yeah, right? Or suck your blood.
Suck your blood.
I like the idea, I think.
This guy's more like an animal.
Having a portrait of like such an inept murderer who is a jittery mess. I get that. I'm just saying that ultimately how it was presented didn't work.
We need to talk about the skill a little bit because he did take an old lady and just fling her into a lamp.
She just perfectly rigor mortis all at once, landed against the wall, stayed there.
After feeding her like 19 of her quote-unquote pills.
And headbutting her a few times.
he kicked the shit out of the old lady. But it's, I don't
know. He was strangling her, but his hands weren't around her neck. They were kind of like massaging her shoulders.
I mean, I think you've got to think of the way that he manhandles those bodies, right? It's so awkward and so...
It is weird.
Because,
it's unnerving.
But that's how it would
look at
be,
it.
Right?
That I thought was, and that's when the movie started to get me back a little bit because that felt real to me.
Yeah.
Like when the life has actually been extinguished or whatever and he's having to deal with, you know, just bodies, just dead bodies or whatever, then it seemed like a very realistic cleanup.
Well, okay. And
trying to shove them into the trunk, you know, struggling with the weight.
I mean,
you know,
when
you have earlier in the movie, you know, he treats them like so much weight when they're dead. You know, he grabs onto something, he drags. But when they're alive, you know, he has to grab onto the woman and do this weird worm crawl into the kitchen with her. That's just bizarre. You know,
that is weird.
But I think, again, it is comical, right? But it's because he's in that moment. And we're just watching that moment.
I think it's the thing about it is, and like comparing it to
Henry.
Henry is, I mean, you almost have to because they are kind of the same type of film. But the reason that Henry doesn't unnerve me in the way this guy did or this movie did is that Henry seems like an actual person.
Sure.
Probably because he thinks about what he's doing, which, like I said, like the logic of it takes a lot of the fear away from me. He seems like a person. This guy is almost like a mentally unstable wolf
yes.
that's just running at you. You don't sure. know. It doesn't even know what it's going to do once it gets you, but it's not going to be good. And that's, I would much rather, I'm more afraid of this guy than Henry.
And that should be everything that you just said up to that point. Like, I...
Henry is scary. Henry is,
and he's
Henry,
not.
Henry, in the movie, what he does in the film is not scary. I will give you that. But the character that sits in my mind, I would much rather run into Henry than run into this guy.
I disagree.
Because Henry is going to talk to you for...
I disagree.
This guy's just going to sneak up on you and just do God knows what.
Yeah, you have no idea
If the four of us ran afoul of Henry... The four of us would be dead.
We would be, but we would be
dead.
He
would straight up take every one of us out with or without Otis's help. The guy in angst, I'm pretty sure he's not going to fare that well against anybody who's not a tiny woman.
Right, but the thing about this guy is that because Henry thinks and because Henry plans, regardless of the fact that it's impossible to believe what I'm about to say, that means that he has logic and reason. Yeah. Therefore, there is a small chance you could reason with him that your life is worth it. Just based on the proof that he has reason.
He cut up Becky and put her in a trunk.
He did, but he has reason. So there's a small chance, even if it's minuscule, that you could reason with a guy like that. This man in angst, there's no reason to him. He believes there's reason and methodology to him, but there's not. He has no motive. He even says in the prologue, which I don't agree with, but he said the letter that he doesn't know why he did what he did.
Right.
There's no reason. You're not going to win in the fight with this guy. The only way to win is to hopefully beat him down before you can manage to get something around your neck.
And I will say, and like I said, I'm not wiping the movie away completely. Like, I'm not slagging the entire thing. It did start to win me back when, after he's murdered everyone, he is having to contend with dealing with the bodies and putting them all in the trunk and driving to town. And to your point, there is that great moment where, you know, I whispered to Dave when we were watching the flick, you know, it seemed like we were getting the last house on the left. My God, what have I done moment when he's in the car and he finds what appears to be a family photo album's worth of pictures in the, you know.
And then he pulls out one at a time.
One at a time. And he looks at them and you see like these people
right.
in other stretches yeah. of their life. And you get the feeling that, okay, this is the moment when he realizes what he's done.
But he doesn't.
But he doesn't.
Yeah. And because, that was kind of fascinating.
And he goes straight to murder somebody else.
Right. Yes. Well, the thing about him is
he's going
is
to
that,
use them as props to impress the people that he is going to kill.
Well, the thing about it is he's looking at the photographs, and you think for a moment he's going to have that where this is a bad thing, and then he's human again.
Right.
But then he says, I can't feel pity for them.
Right. And I love that.
But that doesn't even seem like something that he would even believe. It's like he's telling himself these things over and over because he wants to believe that this is who he is.
I just thought
it's not who he is.
I thought he was talking to the dog at that point.
No. No, I think the thing about him the whole time is he's trying to convince himself.
He never killed
that
the dog. In
he
fact,
is.
He invited the dog along for the ride.
Yeah, he all the way to the end.
Yeah, he's constructing a narrative to match his actions.
Yeah, because he doesn't know who he is.
He's unhinged.
Yeah.
Henry is not unhinged.
He's unsettled.
No, Henry's a predator.
Henry knows exactly what he is and what yeah. and what he's going to do. This guy doesn't. So that makes me fear him and in a weird way feel sorry for him. And I don't feel sorry for Henry. I think he's a terrible
person. He belongs in prison for 10 years.
Or life for killing the three.
Or life.
Yeah. And feeding the wiener dog a wiener.
Wow, so we already gotten to this point so soon. We can double back if need be. But plot-wise...
He kills everyone.
After he hops into the car, he goes back to that same little cafe...
With three bodies.
I'm sorry, you've already skipped over an important part.
Uh-oh. He came in his pants.
He...
Is that the part?
Nope. He ran into the car.
He did run into the car.
Yeah. Okay, we'll backtrack a little bit. To Seth's point, yes, when he was loading up the bodies, there's this weird moment, and it is actually very creepy. Where
he's
sexually satisfied.
Okay. Well, he's moving the old lady's body because the girl that he's killed is in this like basement tunnel area.
The bunker.
He stabbed her a lot. He drank her blood.
He
fell asleep on her with his pants down. Interesting. And he's moving the bodies out. So he moves the dude from upstairs first, then goes back down. He goes back down for the mom, and he says like, "I want to keep these bodies with me forever." So to me, it was like he's killed a lot of people. We assume over his life, But this is the first time it's actually meant something. Like, oh my God, I'm on the right track. I finally done it.
See,
now I can have these trophies.
I took that differently. It's like this is the first time he's ever actually killed people. So he's like, I finally
did
it.
That's interesting. It's interesting too. I mean, same point.
Well, he shot the lady.
A different road.
Yeah. I'm completely ignoring the prologue.
Yeah, the prologue. But in the prologue, I mean, whether it even happened or not is up to the viewer, I guess, depending on which option that you select there on the on your Blu-ray menu. But
if you choose to believe his narration,
right? And then and it's like, and this idea that he's finally done this, and now he gets to use these bodies to terrify other people with that he's going to kill. It gets him off, literally. And there's this weird convulsing scene that was kind of funny, but also kind of strange and
like
sad.
Like an electric
weird
current ran through him.
Yeah, and it's like, at that moment, I think he thought he finally became who he thought he was going to be, and then of course he didn't, because he fucks it all up, because he doesn't know what he's doing. Because he's so mentally unhinged, he doesn't know what he's doing, or even what he wants.
Yeah, there's no end game for him.
Well, he's a kid. I mean, and a kid doesn't know what they're doing
Half
the time anyway. Which is why he puts on the weird penguin thing.
So he leaves the house in a car
with a penguin suit.
Starts driving completely insane for no reason.
He cleans himself
up.
Not
for no reason. It's because he's completely
jacked. He's
right?
Post-coital. Yeah. You don't feel you try to drive post-coital.
He doesn't
Ryan.
Cuddle.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can't do it.
I brought the dog.
He's not a cuddler.
You can't do it. The dog brought itself. It jumped in the car. He looked at it like, what the fuck are you doing?
No loyalty to its masters. It was just whoever's going to
maybe
feed
it
me
was being loyal by
on.
Being
it's
in
cool.
the car with him.
I mean, he killed the master. Now he's above their master. He is now the alpha.
Yeah, he's the alpha, right?
Wiener dogs are assholes. Okay, fine.
Well, we talked about the dog a lot. There's something that's in my mind, and you can guys tell me if I'm absolutely insane or not. So when he's chasing the girl, and the dog's ball starts to roll with him chasing the girl. The dog is chasing the ball. He's chasing the girl. Obviously, there's like a parallel there, or whatever. But this whole time, this dude is killing.
I'd like to think that the wiener dog's wrangler was just terrible at their job.
But I think it's put there for a reason to like parallel the chase of like two different animals or whatever. But it doesn't matter. That's not my point. My point is this. So the whole time he's killing everyone in the house, doing it badly. But he's viciously killing these people. The dog is going about its day. It's napping under the blankets.
Yeah.
It's eating food. It's doing its thing.
That's what I like.
So do you think there's something about, like, this visceral killing for no reason is a human act and not an animal act? That's why the dog is, like, showing us the dog being completely normal while he's killing. Is there anything there, or am I just going insane?
That could be. I like it.
Am I going insane there? That's all I can think about. The whole time he's stabbing there, all I could think was that this is them saying that killing like this is a human act, not a dog act.
It's not a
dog. I don't know.
Don't torture.
I think there's almost a thought there.
There's meaning. There's meaning when animals kill.
Yeah.
This
right.
is all meaningless.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because animals kill for survival.
Yeah. Food.
For food.
Yeah. Right.
This guy's doing it entirely for pleasure, thinks?
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure there's pleasure there.
But he does come.
Yeah.
I know, but I mean, it just, it seems like...
It's like an afterthought kind of...
Almost.
But I mean, it's almost like, I don't even know if he's even getting off because of killing, or because he got off because he finally got to a level in his life, regardless of what that level was ever going to be.
He leveled up.
Yeah. Is that, and if that leveling up meant driving a car, or buying a house... He would have came too, but he just happens to want to kill because he thinks he needs to, and it's just it's really fucked up.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
and it kind of bothers me the more I think about it.
It is curious though when you think about it. I mean, it seems like that's what he wants the entire movie. And
right,
he's so jittery and he's a mess, and he seems to be driving toward that. And then once he gets it, he's still fucked up. So, does he match what you guys imagine? Like. Is meant to be a serial killer, somebody who has that cycle where they build up and they feel like they have to kill, and then once they've killed, they're completely fine until, you know,
this guy can't have a cycle at all.
I think this guy wants to because he keeps saying the whole time the narration that he wants this, he can't wait to do it again. It's gonna make him. He's gonna be the happiest he's ever been once he does it, and then we see him doing it, and he's a mess. He doesn't want to kill,
right?
But he feels he should want to.
Maybe he keeps referring to these plans, and there are no plans.
No, there isn't anything.
Yeah, it's just whatever's in the moment.
He just wants.
So what
wants
is he?
Believe.
Is he unclassifiable? Is he meant to be a spree
killer? He's a killer who's deranged. We finally get a killer who's
who has completely no reason.
Yeah, he's mentally unsound.
He's without reason entirely. And that unnerves me a lot.
Yeah.
And then he makes his way back to that diner where the two girls smoking the Johnnies and the guy with his newspaper, which now
peace.
Reads peace.
Because right. he's reached peace because he's killed somebody.
But everyone.
Not that guy.
This is a
no,
day
no, no,
later.
No, the killer.
It's a
metaphor,
them.
David.
The well, killer saw them the previous
symbolic.
Day in that cafe.
Smoking the Johnnies.
Went to the house. Night fell. He killed everybody. The next morning, he woke up on top of the corpse, cleaned everything up, loaded the bodies into the trunk, drove back into town after hitting a car.
I feel like you're about to nip.
Being
about
to I nip, think you are, too. I'm really, I know
think,
where this
I
is
think,
going.
I think we're on Nitpick Avenue right now.
Yeah. We sure as shit are, because how the, okay, he
okay,
gets to the cafe.
Okay.
And it comes full circle. He orders another bratwurst.
Exactly.
With a croissant.
With a croissant this
croissant
time.
Croissant this time. Right. Yeah.
But still mustard. He's not a savage.
And it's Austria.
It's as though he's only been away for minutes.
I love that. I thought that was great.
Okay, why?
But has he? Has he only been away for minutes?
That's, you know.
What if, I think I mean, you're wanting some kind of reality out of this narrative that isn't there, especially given his state.
I guess, it's Austria. It's maybe night never fell, and it's all some big symbol for his mind.
I think we're reaching at that point.
I think there's a lot in it, and maybe those girls just were the same thing.
How do we even know that he actually killed anybody? Like,
we don't.
They never showed the bodies in the trunk. Whenever,
right. Yeah. And then the only reason we know is because the narrator comes at the end, which is stupid, and says he was put away for life. It's
right.
Well, that's fucking stupid.
Maybe you can't rob twice.
Maybe that's just the psychiatrist in his mind.
It's also true. Is that we're all? I mean, we're experiencing it from either him or some guy we don't even see.
Yeah.
So no one can really be trusted what they're saying in the film anyway.
It could be Mrs. Bates talking, right? We never know.
Could it be?
Could it? It's not
but,
Simon Oakland.
Is it a
but
true
yeah,
story?
Yeah, I mean, and also when everyone opens the trunk and they look,
they're not scared.
They don't, which would make him mad because he wanted to use the body to scare everybody, and
yeah,
no one's
right.
scared anyways. He'd be upset about that, but. No one reacts in a way you would think somebody would react to seeing a body.
Might have just been terrible direction.
Nobody screams. They don't look at him and say, get on the ground.
The parents
nothing
at
happens.
The beginning of Halloween nothing aren't happens. Remotely concerned about little Michael holding a bloody knife.
It's also Halloween, Jinx.
Fair enough.
It's fucking Halloween.
Nobody moves. There's that great Carpenter crane shot or whatever, and everyone just holds very still.
It's fucking Halloween.
They just stare. They don't even ask him again what's wrong.
No, I think I'm not.
I don't
it's
know
a
why
thing.
You want that.
Is maybe
why do we want that?
Maybe he didn't kill anyone in this film.
It's very possible.
Maybe it didn't happen. Which and that's really sad that he is because he also keeps saying that he wants to live out his fantasy and just see where that takes him. He says
it
the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
So
maybe he
in
didn't.
His own
I'm
way
not
he
saying,
did, but it's not real.
Okay, how does that support what the movie is?
But why is he so bad at it even in his fantasy? Because he secretly knows he sucks?
Yeah, he can't even fantasize
can't even
about
fantasize
being great.
Being good. Yeah.
That's,
it reminds
that's
me of Lost Highway a little bit. Yeah, Fred Madison, the Bill Pullman character, whatever, he envisions this great new version of himself where he's young and he's cool and he gets the girl, and by the end it still gets fucked up.
I think there's a lot more to this film than I think people would view on it the first time.
It is the rarest masterpiece of cinema.
I honestly did not think that I liked it as much as I do
now.
After talking about it as much as I have.
Yeah.
And really thinking about it. I do enjoy it.
I did enjoy it, too.
I don't know. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in there.
You forgot to mention, too, that this movie largely takes place in real time.
It does. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah, with the exception.
Other than the passing of day or night to day.
Actually, no, that's in real time, too, if you take it from the point of view that it's through his eyes. He falls asleep. He wakes up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
He busts through a gate.
That's the thing.
He hits a car.
he
hits the car, and the cops catch him out of a fender bender. He gets caught by a fender bender.
And don't use doors, either. You just go through windows.
Yeah, right? Because the glass is very
go through
thin
some kind
in
of
Austria.
Glass.
He's unhinged.
Go down the steps to the creepy tunnel
to
where
you
kill people.
The weird tunnel.
Oh, well, you know.
Under the
Austria.
Under the
you just
pond.
Walk around the property, touch everything, and then
you don't do that?
Go to the boat.
At your home in Austria? You don't do that? I many times play in my tunnels and my above ground lakes in Austria.
Not once did he put that damn boat on the lake.
With my rake paddle.
How dare you bring groceries in here?
Fuck this, I gotta wash off.
I don't know, Jinx, you're wrong. It's good.
You know, I'm comfortable.
This
here.
Table is a fence between us right now.
Yeah.
Why
this
can't
is,
you just
this
get
This is
over
the
it?
Same thing, the same issue we had with
you
last
Witch Hunter. You just got to break through that fence.
Yeah.
Can't you just get beyond Thunderdome, Jinx?
I should go ahead and tell listeners, if you've been for our listener or whatever, just to go ahead and let you know,
Hi,
I
Mom.
Finally fucking watched The Last Witch Hunter.
You realize that the listener you're talking to is David, so just don't get
Hi, Dave, in the future. How are you?
Hi, David.
I probably
Saturday
still
morning.
Don't like angst at this point. I'm sorry.
It's no. pronounced angst.
Angst. No, I'm glad I watched the movie, and I did think it was interesting. I love the way it was filmed. The lead performance I thought was very good. I loved like his just constant mania.
Yeah,
throughout
sweating,
it.
Lots of sweating.
But it just
lots of like close-ups of like his like Adam's apple, like convulsing was his
spread. Adam's apple,
his
was
pores
mutated. Like just
he's just really skinny.
Maybe.
So,
they've pointed
so
out that
bigger.
He looks very close to Reek or Theon Greyjoy from Game of Thrones, and I can't argue that point.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
My goodness, he looks a lot like him.
He kind of acts like Theon Greyjoy, too.
He does.
He just whines a
Post
lot.
Post-Reek. But, yeah.
I don't know that name. I just say that guy in Game of Thrones.
That guy in Game
I
Thrones.
Don't know this Game of Thrones.
He's also the guy
I've read. I've read half the first book.
I don't know
it's
if
wonderful.
You. I don't know if you know it's the rarest masterpiece
on
of
television.
Television, yeah.
Game
HBO's
of Thrones?
Rarest masterpiece.
Get got.
He's also the same guy who murdered Keanu Reeves' dog in John Wick.
Is he really?
Oh,
yeah.
I know that guy.
That worked.
I recently bought John Wick, but I have not watched
it's
it.
It's amazing.
It's actually really
good.
It's the Citizen Kane of action movies.
I was at
Does the box say that?
I think so.
I was at the Blu-ray store the other day, and my brother said, buy that. And I said, okay.
It's not necessarily the rarest masterpiece, but a masterpiece all the same.
Did you just call Angst a masterpiece?
I did not. I was talking about John
You
Wick.
Should. You will by the end of this.
I don't think I will. I think we're close to the end.
Aww.
What?
I'm feeling like we're wrapping up here. Guys, what?
You're just sour on it.
I don't I feel am. Like we've
Is it because it was in German?
What?
Austrian.
Wait till we watch it. Yeah. They don't speak
we
Austrian.
We could have watched it in French.
Subtitled in German and then recapped in English. Wait till we watch a Serbian film.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can we go back a second? Jinx, do you want to tell us about your experience with The Last Witch Hunter?
I didn't.
Are you sure?
I watched it. It was not good.
You let it sink in.
I did not.
Did you digest it?
I did not.
Do you like angst better than that?
Would you say The Last Witch Hunter is unsettling?
If you have to think about it, I think you're wrong as a person. And I've only seen the trailer of The Last Witch Hunter.
It was a
TV spot at that.
I respect angst more than I do The Last Witch Hunter House.
He came around, at least.
That's close.
I don't think I did. I don't think
Not
I
did. Quite like
the
this guy, though, right?
I think it was all the... I think it was the Gaspar Noé introduction that did it.
That really set the, your fez isn't large enough tone for me. Introduction by a French guy to an Austrian film that's in German? Oh, my God. Am I in Portland?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So where is it in relation to Gremlins?
It's on about an elf level.
Is it?
The elf level.
Okay, so,
so
you're telling me if
so
I'm looking
it's
at
not
my
money.
Shelf, and there is Gremlins, Angst, and The Last Witch Hunter, which one am I going to choose? I will put Gremlins in the player, and I will sell Angst and The Last Witch Hunter back to
Fuck
FYE.
Fuck, marry, kill, Jinx. Fuck, marry, kill. Which one? Which one are you going to do? Gremlins,
All
elf,
three
Angst.
Gremlins.
Fuck, marry, kill.
There are enough Gremlins to get away with, you know.
So you're going
to
kill Angst, you're going to fuck elf, you're going to marry Gremlins. Is that right?
You know, this is based on a true story.
So on a rating scale, Angst is like five Gremlins.
Oh, my God.
What's your Rotten Tomato score on this one?
Five Gremlins.
Five Gremlins.
There's five, still a green splat.
Five but gizmos.
See, but see, in a way, Jinx gets to be right, too, because five gremlins only equals one gizmo.
Five wet gizmos.
After midnight. So Jinx gets his one star, and you get your five stars. Everybody wins. Democracy.
Win, win, win.
I'm not sure we all won.
It's a wonderful world.
No. I am glad I watched it, and I can't say that That's always the case with movies that I ultimately wind up disliking, but I appreciated the experience of watching it.
So that was our reaction to Hardcore Henry.
Yeah. Do we recommend this for people to watch? Do they need to seek it out?
Yes.
Yes.
Try watching it alone and let us know how that works out.
Don't buy it. Let somebody else buy it and bring it to a screening for your podcast.
David's cell phone number is.
David will guest. He'll host. He'll do the Gaspar Noé introduction himself.
I will. I'll lean against that window.
I would be interested to see what this movie feels like alone. I think it would bother me a lot more alone.
I just really want to recut that initial attack sequence to like the Benny Hill music. So bad. So
yakety sax.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Oh, by the way, the lamp controls everything.
The what?
He knocks over the lamp, the whole house goes dark.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I think it could be a dream.
Yeah. It might. Yeah, it's a thing. I mean, then again, I don't know how Austrian electricity works. That might be spot on.
It's like some third world country now.
But actually, I mean, the only lights they turned on were in the kitchen, right?
And upstairs.
In the bathroom, that's true.
The
bathroom light was still on.
She went upstairs turning on
all
the
lights. Was
the
bathroom light still
on? No, it was off.
He killed that dude. He killed that dude in the bathroom before he knocked over the lamp, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit, it all is the lamp, isn't it?
So, if you listen to this and you live in Austria,
please let me know how your electricity works.
Thank you.
Does it flow a different way, like
tell
in Australia?
People. Tell people about the show. Tell
it's,
people about
it's,
the podcast.
It's not dated. I don't think it's dated.
No.
It's
no,
got
no,
the
no,
it's got going. The Klaus Schultz
well,
soundtrack.
The thing about it, I wouldn't know if
it's
dated anyway. This is me being a dumb
it
American.
It feels very 80s at the same time, but not dated. I don't know.
I've never been.
I've
never.
The music.
I've never
it's
been to Austria, so I wouldn't know if Austria looked like this now anyway. Because I've never been
there
anyway.
It's a series of underground tunnels.
That's the
so
thing.
If you live in Austria, let us know how it looks.
I think it's an interesting thing about like watching European films is that for me, I've never been to Europe. Maybe I'll go one day.
Sure.
Who knows? But none of them ever feel out of time to me because I don't know what that place looks like anyway. So I have to look at it through are obscure 80s horror films, I guess.
If we only had the internet.
I'm not going to go home and Google Austria.
Just look it up.
Where is this Austria land?
All right, so Austria, Google image, larger than 1024 by 68. Ah, that movie's dated.
Four gremlins.
I give the art direction a 2. One mogwai.
Right, I admit to being ignorant as all hell when it comes to gas stations, but was anyone even remotely taken aback by the fact there was a fucking Shell station?
We still have Shell stations here, so.
I just don't know how much gas costs because I don't understand Austrian currency.
Fair enough.
Wait, the problem was what about it?
The Shell station.
Was what? Why is that a problem?
I didn't say it was a problem. I was just surprised.
He was just curious about it, but the Shell station.
That it was a Shell station?
Yes.
Why was that unusual?
I didn't know that it wasn't.
Shell funded the whole film.
We didn't
purely
know.
American company. I didn't know.
We didn't know Shell was also based in Austria.
Yeah.
Oh,
I almost said Australia.
So if you're in Austria, let us know if you all have Shell gas stations.
And the cafe is built into their stations.
They're called espressos.
Fair enough.
See, espresso in America is just is
we've got a burrito place in our gas station.
Delicious.
So come on.
Yeah. Yeah. That used to be a Shell station.
There you go.
By the way, when I was a kid, that used to be a Shell station.
I used to go in there and get my Johnnies. Great.
Your cool Johnnies?
Bratwurst,
yeah, my mustard. My menthol.
And you just roll them up in your shirt, dip your wiener in some hot mustard, and go about your day. May or may not be killing folk.
We're not talking about cigarettes. We're not talking about food items.
I'm talking about
sometimes
penises.
When
I'm gay. It's what I do.
Sometimes.
I know two things, Jinx. Two things.
And both of them are Johnnies.
Fair enough.
One of them is Johnny Cool from the DC Comics.
Stop.
DC Johnny, what the fuck was his name?
DC Johnny.
Was that his name? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
It's the worst superhero
No, DC.
His parents were killed. He was orphaned.
DC Johnny.
He took it.
DC used to have a mascot in the 80s that was like the cool kid. His name was like Johnny DC or some shit like that.
That sounds like the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard.
I can't remember. The joke is lost. It was going to end with me saying, I only know comics and dicks. So there you go. So that's the weird thing about the podcast. Yeah. That's the weird one. That's where we all pause on.
We went silent. Yeah.
That's the one. Damn.
That's it.
Damn.
How'd the movie
even
get there?
Richard gives me a sigh on mine when I say shit like that.
We lost that one listener.
Oh, sorry, yeah. David. In the future. Yeah. Sorry, Saturday, David.
I love the idea that you're still going to listen up until that point.
Right. I'll turn it off then.
He's not listening now.
So I can't believe you're bad-mouthing this movie.
So we can actually bad-mouth David right now because he has stopped listening.
Oh, wow. I can't wait till next week.
I give Angst a thumbs up. A surprisingly thumbs up.
Five Gremlins?
At least.
Yeah. I liked it.
I think it's 3-1 here.
The one with the mohawk, for sure.
I give it a pat on the back and a condescending good job.
Good job for making it to Blu-ray in America, man. Thumbs up.
Well done, Cargill.
Takes a lot to make it to Blu-ray these
days. You know, it was his only movie, too.
No that's shit.
Yeah.
I did see that on the IMDb.
Wait, is he dead?
That's weird.
Yeah, he lost all his money.
Is he dead?
He couldn't pay. No, I don't think so.
That's all he's done?
He couldn't pay back his debts on the movie. So
shit.
So buy the Blu-ray for
this guy. What do you mean his debts? Did nobody go to see it?
I don't know why.
I'd like to see Onks, too.
That's weird.
I mean,
The Reckoning.
It took Gaspar Noé to bring it to our attention.
Onks-tarter.
Onks-tarter with a vengeance.
Two Onks, Two Furious.
I mean, it's just coming out here, right? So that's pretty amazing.
That just released here?
This is a new release.
No.
Yeah, so we get to see it.
Didn't take very long.
Is this the first time that it's been available in America? Is this Blu-ray?
I don't know about that. It's been available on VHS at one point, but I don't remember where or when. Under its title, Schizophrenia.
So is that the French title?
A Good Day to Angst.
Angst?
Schizophrenia is a way better title.
That's a way better title. Because angst, you know, it's like anxiety, fear, that kind of encompasses, like...
It just
like,
means fear.
Right, well, and that kind of...
Would have been better if you'd been a teenager.
And angst kind of makes sense with the way that, like, he feels, but schizophrenia, I think, is a much more interesting name for a way to view the film.
I'd buy that.
I don't know. Schizophrenia, you think you waver between... some, you know, personalities or whatever.
Yeah,
but he doesn't do that. He's just totally off the wall, off the rails from the beginning.
I guess if he was normal and then became a killer, then the schizophrenia could work. But
yeah.
Angst it is.
All right, that's solved.
My popular demand.
Way to go. You picked the right title 30 years
Austria.
Ago.
Austria.
What do we know?
Just some
good,
yokels.
Good going, Austria.
Okay, so cult epics, you're allowed to continue calling it Angst. We've weighed in. It's all right. No more reprinting.
No more schizophrenia.
I think you're wavering. I think you're coming to the side now.
No, I think you're wrong.
No.
I think you're misreading me.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I enjoyed the experience of watching.
That doesn't sound like you at the beginning. At the beginning, I thought you were like, I hated it.
No, I just knew that I was going to be catching a lot of opposition, so I just had to, like, charge.
So you're on the fence now.
So what you're doing is you're surrendering like those two women did in the movie.
Nope. No. Boy, they sure did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the poor girl her ankle tied to the doorknob, like, she did her best. But
I will say, that's the most creative way I've ever seen to subdue somebody.
Exactly.
Is to medically wrap their leg to a doorknob. And then their hands behind their back and watch them just kind of slowly fall over the course of 6 hours.
Not to just tie their ankles and to keep them one spot there, but just to the doorknob. Why the doorknob? What the fuck was that?
It's there.
It's awkward.
There was no furniture tie it to.
It's awkward. There's no way to...
And then the door just hinges back and forth.
I mean, you sit there and just wave a little bit. Yeah.
That is true, and it is worth discussing. The notion that it might all be in his head. I mean, could the house have been empty considering there was... no furniture?
There was a bed.
Although there was...
Yeah, but it's in the weirdest place, right?
It's near
a fireplace.
In the middle of the
room. So was the bed for her invalid son? Because he couldn't get up the steps?
He had a chair.
Maybe.
Or was it for her to sleep there when he just slept in the chair?
I think she slept in the bed, he slept in the chair, and then the...
The daughter doesn't live there.
She slept in the bathroom.
she might not even live there. Yeah.
If it's in
his
head...
She had a water bath.
Yeah. If it is in his head, then no furniture, I understand. But electricity and water...
Well,
I mean, we could say electricity was bullshit too, because the one lamp going
controls everything.
Outside,
yeah,
maybe that was just
the water, though, needed to be there because he needed that for his plan. Yeah. He needed to drown the guy, needed to wash himself off.
If it wasn't in his head, then what's the deal with no furniture? Because they do talk about the father having died as a notion that maybe the fact that this family no longer has a patriarch, maybe. They had sold off everything that they could to continue living in that house.
I think you're supposed to get the idea that they're moving because they have suitcases.
That's true.
Stacked on top of the clothing,
and the clothes are all packed up. And some,
it's
true.
And they
too.
Were so close to being out of that.
And the yard's been let go, and
all they hadn't done.
The kitchen's
kind of
barren.
So was it dark before the lamp went out, or was it nighttime? Or was
it was turning nighttime, and then when the lamp went out.
So technically, the light could have been just daylight, and then whenever the lamp went out, it turned night.
But they did turn on the bathroom light upstairs. They did turn on the kitchen light.
It's a metaphor.
But the kitchen light was on.
It's a metaphor.
I think the kitchen light stayed on.
Did Jason Voorhees really kill anybody?
Yes.
Like, we really think about this.
Killed me.
I see what you're doing, and it's called patronizing.
I'm That's a good question. I think we could play that with most any horror movie.
No. They,
I don't think there's anything
that sets up. Listen.
You're wrong.
The listeners couldn't see your eyes behind that question.
Yeah.
All they heard was your voice be like, oh, yeah, Jinx asking a general question. They didn't see your fucking eyes. With all the judgments and these guys are crazy on that side of the table eyes.
We're getting to Friday the 13th soon, right? Because I'm ready to rip that apart.
Let's just...
I'm going to machete that a new asshole.
It is soon. Yeah, Brian, if you can stick around long enough for us to make, I think it's May 13th. That'll be Friday the 13th. That's when our Friday the 13th series talk should go. Brian, how long are you going to be here? We should let the listeners know that, unfortunately, Brian
be
will
be
leaving.
Yeah.
At some point soon.
It's like the third week of May.
Okay, then you should make it.
I'll be here for the 13th.
Yeah, we will.
Won't miss that.
We will. If you have to Skype in, you will do that.
I only have great things to say about two of those films. In an order that would surprise you.
4 and 6?
10 and 6.
I like Jason X. I think it's
fucking
a lot
love
of fun.
Jason
you
X.
Don't like 4 at all?
4's fine, but it's not Jason X.
No, it's not.
Jason X is my Gremlins.
5 Gremlins.
5 Gremlins.
5 cybernetic Jason Voorhees.
Robo Jason's. All right.
7 Android ladies.
Okay, gang. Do we have anything else left to say about Angst before we...
It's wonderful.
Before we move on to The Last Witch Hunter?
Just go watch Angst.
No. Go watch Angst.
You should.
I mean, the only thing bad about this film is the ridiculously stupid MSRP price. So find it somewhere else.
Well,
on Amazon.
It's only $20.
Find it on Amazon.
It's
$20.
Bucks. Come on.
Yeah, find it on Amazon.
Yeah, so have a friend buy it and you just borrow it from them. That'd be fine. So. I'm just saying.
Jinx is not buying a copy.
I am not buying a copy of Angst.
He will not rent it on like iTunes or something. Is that an option?
It took 30 years to get to Blu-ray. I don't think it's going to be on iTunes anytime soon.
So 30 more years. Check it out on iTunes.
With your senior citizens check. Cash it right in for your $400 iTunes card.
I mean, people love it. Gaspar Noé loves it. Larry Fessenden loves it.
I don't know
it.
Who Gaspar Noé is.
You do. You just read that.
Was he the dude?
Enter the Void.
He was the guy in the car.
Enter the Void.
You really should watch I Stand Alone and Irreversible. They're both very good movies.
Every time you say Irreversible, I think of that Mark Wahlberg movie where he
plays
the football player.
Invincible.
No.
Every time you say Invincible, I think of the same film, but with Tony Danza. Did you watch that movie? The garbage picking field goal kicking Philadelphia
all of a
phenomenon.
Sudden, I'm imagining like this awful 10-minute rape sequence where
did
Tony
you have a flashback? The garbage kicking
awful.
Field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon.
That sounds vague. Mm.
Tony Danza becomes the kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles.
That sounds like a Family Guy joke.
No, it's a fucking real thing. Google that shit.
No.
Garbage picking field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon.
I know the fish that saved Philadelphia.
No, no, this one's
and
way
Gus,
better than that.
That was like
field
a fucking tongue twister that you just did. What
mule.
Was that again?
Garbage picking, field goal kicking, Philadelphia phenomenon.
Now, 5 times real fast.
I'll stutter and I'll get embarrassed and I'll puke.
Okay. All right. Okay, Dave, you brought the movie.
Yeah.
Take us out. What's the last words on Angst?
I think it's worth seeing.
Okay.
You should see it.
Brian and Seth would agree.
I don't know what else to say about it. It's the most positive thing.
Well,
you know, it's worth seeing. It's worth seeing.
It is. See it.
Okay, gang. We'll be back next week to discuss. Brian, I think it's your choice next
Ghost
week.
Dad.
What are you?
Yes! Finally.
Finally going to get to Ghost Dad.
On the big screen.
We're doing a podcast on a Cosby movie.
Is that movie, even on a disc?
I don't think it is anymore.
It's not horror.
It's probably on iTunes.
It's not horror. Not for
there's
the
a
right
ghost
reasons.
In it.
I don't think I can hook the VCR up to our
it's
system.
It's okay.
Here.
We're going to see it in 16 parts on YouTube. It's going to be great.
I think it's playing on TBS right now.
There'll be Klondike ads every 6 seconds.
Yeah, and then followed by Pluto Nash, and it's good.
Oh, I love Pluto Nash.
Let's go.
I quit.
We should watch Bullfinger. We couldn't talk about it here.
No,
because
no,
do you not like Bullfinger either?
No, I do.
Look, do you have an idea what you're going to do? Or
Serbian film.
Or Ghost Dad is it.
Ghost Dad's probably
good. I'm excited.
Brian, we can't watch Ghost Dad. We're not watching Ghost Dad, no.
It's not your choice.
It'll be a surprise.
Can we just watch it as friends?
Maybe.
The Ghost Dad is the prologue.
We're allowed to watch movies together as friends.
I think the Gaspar Noé intro will be really cool.
It was the best French language I've ever seen. Bill Cosby dubbed his own French dialogue. It was wonderful.
He's leaning against the car window.
I'm going to go get some Johnny's. I'm going to see you guys later.
Cosby.
The cup of coffee Gaspar Noé shared with Bill Cosby that one time was
magical.
That'd
be really great.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's what, that's what everybody says about the situation.
Because I don't know how many gremlins I'd give that, just even without...
100 gremlins.
Yeah,
we're not watching Ghost Dad. I'm putting my foot down here.
We could watch Funny Games.
It's not... Ooh.
Hey, not your pick.
Yeah, it's
I think Funny Games is also an Austrian film.
Okay, if we're watching Funny Games, we're watching the American version.
If we watch Funny Games, let's
that's
do fair. Both back to back.
No,
are
American version.
Are you fucking
version.
Insane? I have 9 hours.
It'd be like 3.
I have a job.
It'd be 3. It'd be 3
plus
hours.
The podcast.
It'd be 3.
On 2 movies.
It'd be 4.5.
5 to 6. Nine.
No.
I've got things, dude. I've got priors. All right.
Okay, we'll watch the American.
Ghost
yeah, it's
better.
It is.
Ghost Dad settles it.
Yep. We're doing Ghost Dad.
It's a tiebreaker.
Okay, Brian isn't settling on it. All I can tell you for certain, listener, is that...
It will be titled Ghost Dad, at least.
The next podcast will be titled Ghost Dad. It's not what we're fucking watching, but we will title it Ghost Dad.
There will at least be a discussion of Ghost Dad in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Papa? Ghost Papa?
This ran right the hell off the rails for
me. There was kind of a ghost dad in Angst.
No, ghost papa is dead.
Because the kid, the older man in the wheelchair, thought his dad was still alive and he was dead. There was a ghost dad in Angst.
Yeah.
What if he was ghost dad?
No,
fucking wasn't.
Oh, wow.
No.
It's a prequel to Ghost Dad.
He thought his dad was still alive, but he was dead. There was a ghost dad in this movie.
He didn't do jack shit to help them out then.
Wow. Well, he doesn't really in the Ghost Dad movie with Cosby either. He just kind of comes and says some nice things to the kids and makes them feel better.
Jello
butter. Do your homework.
It's
the Bill Cosby impressions are so
make
good
souffle.
Here.
Okay, we're stopping recording in 20 seconds.
Why?
Brian, can you tell us what you're going to choose?
It'll be a surprise. You'll have to tune in.
Okay, surprise that viewing next
Dave,
week.
Dave, come back next week.
We hopefully haven't scared you away. Watch Angst or don't. But if you do, let us know what you thought.
What is or don't?
What have we been here for?
Yeah. I had to warn them, all right?
It's very passive. Passive aggressive, James.
Maybe listen to us or not.
You know, what if you want to do it? It's America, I guess. Never mind, really. Who cares? If you want to listen to us, I don't care. Whatever.
Buy it. Don't.
I mean, sure. If you like it, do it's your thing. What do you want to do, man?
He's going to burn the building down.
Sure.
Is it the rarest masterpiece of cinema?
It is not.
But
okay,
is it?
I'm putting my foot down on that.
But is it?
No,
it's
not.
Could it be, though?
Find us on Twitter. That is @ScreamAddicts. I am @Jinx1981. Brian is?
@Brian_Prem.
Seth is?
I don't have a Twitter account.
Yes, you do.
I don't know what it is, though.
Seriously?
It's Seth.
I think it's like Seth Dixon 00.
Do you?
Yeah. That sounds right.
It'll
look
like that.
It'll look like me. So just look for me on the profile.
How do they know
just
what you look
just
like
type in Seth and then scroll.
They'll find me.
I'm the only one without a Twitter account, but I think it's going to be Ghost Dad.
#ghostdad.
Hashtag Ghost Dad.
And
hashtag
with that,
Ghost Papa.
We are out, folks. Thank you so much for listening and for making it all the way to the end of this, if you did. And we will see you next week. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
I mean, if you want to listen to the whole thing, just go there. I mean, you don't have to.